This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two on this Wednesday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Spent a lot of the first hour talking about last night's Phoenix Suns dramatic win, closing seconds, DeAndre Ayton with the alley-oop, or as they're calling it, the valley-oop. With DeAndre Ayton with the game winner from Jay Crowder. Now the series goes back to Los Angeles. This feels a whole lot different than the last two times, the Clippers down 0-2 in the playoffs. You also have game one coming up tonight in Milwaukee. The Hawks at the Bucks. We'll talk about that coming up as well. You also had the NBA draft lottery last night. It's not what it used to be. It feels like true transformative players don't come along that often. And there's a few reasons behind that perception. Players are only in college for 1 year. So the dominance is usually not on display. I mentioned some of these players that you knew nothing about the Joker when he was coming into the NBA. You knew nothing about Giannis, Kawhi Leonard, even Devin Booker averaged 10 points his 1 year at Kentucky. Used to be that you had Patrick Ewing, and he was there 4 years. Tim Duncan played 4 years. Now you got top picks, one and done, or a G leaguer, and it's not that easy. You know, it used to be you draft the 7-footer, and you built your team around that 7-footer. Patrick Ewing, Tim Duncan, Hakeem Olajuwon, David Robinson, Shaq. Now the top five picks all feel like they're 6'6", with no defined position. And it's really not that easy to evaluate here. It's, you know, trying to troubleshoot this is really tricky. The Golden State Warriors, you know, they just said, look, we're taking Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. And they changed basketball when they did that. You know, big name free agents and trades are the more common route this year to build a championship team. But with all of that being said, congrats to the Pistons. You got the number one pick. Might not guarantee much these days, but it's a lot better than falling out of the top three. We will look back on this draft in 5 years, 4 years, maybe 3 years from now, and you'll go, that guy slipped all the way to, and then fill in the number. Happens every year because you got players that aren't fully developed, whether it's their size, whether it's their skill level, and then all of a sudden they emerge. Devin Booker has emerged. You know, DeAndre Ayton, he's emerged. Like, who had Damian Lillard being a great player? Weber State, huh? And then all of a sudden you go, boy, that guy, he's confident. And confidence is the one thing. It's an intangible. But at times it feels tangible. Like you're going, is that guy confident? You know, Russell Wilson has confidence. you know, certain players where you go, they just, if I'm feeding off of you, there's nothing better than seeing your star player and you know he's confident, like truly confident, not I'm going to put on a good front here. Hey, game on the line. Paul George did not have that moment last night. He's played well in the postseason, but he missed 5 free throws last night. He was 1 of 8 from three-point range. I know it's not all on him, but in this case it is. You don't have Kawhi. It has to be on you. You know, we saw Kevin Durant step up in a big moment. Big moments. Now, is he a better player? Yes, he is a better player. But I want my best player to exude confidence. There are guys who just love the moment, seize the moment. They're bigger in the moment. They seem to be taller in the moment, more confident in the moment. And last night, you know, that's just a series of unfortunate events there for the Clippers. And the Clippers weren't ready for an alley-oop, plain and simple. They were playing for a pick and pop with Devin Booker. Somebody sets a pick on Batum. He's going to pop out, got 0.9 seconds. Can he get it off in time? And that's what they were playing for. Because if you look at Boogie Cousins guarding the inbounds pass on Jay Crowder, his back is straight back, you know, to midcourt. He's not angling as if to say, I'm not going to give you the alley-oop. And that's what surprised me. When I went back, and we've watched it quite a few times, Boogie Cousins is just standing as if he's facing Jay Crowder straight on. And I thought, at least shield, put your hands up to make the pass even tougher. Crowder made a perfect pass. DeAndre Ayton dunked it, didn't even know if he had committed offensive goaltending. But in a moment, those are plays. That's a play. If the Suns go on to win the championship, you're going to look back on that moment. And there have been a few moments here. Now you get Chris Paul back. You didn't want to split. And I don't think Kawhi Leonard's playing in this series. Chris Paul will be playing in this series. Is he going to play in game 3? This is different. This is different feel with the Clippers. That felt like 1.5 losses last night. It's hard to shake off those games. Sometimes when you get blown out, you just say, you know what? They were the better team. But if you're able to survive those kind of games where you lose in dramatic fashion, well, you're going to have to bank on your star player being great. And Paul George has to be great in game 3. Now, they do have a supporting cast. It's not all on him. But when you nickname yourself Playoff P, we want to see greatness out of you. And you almost invite that criticism. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address, dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. Here is DeAndre Ayton after the game-winning alley-oop.
Once I set that first screen for Cam, I tried to set up Zubac to, you know, for Book to have a good angle on him. And I believe once my feet touch the paint where I can go off right, left, 1-2, not many people are going to be up there with me. So that's where I got confident at. Once I really got that gather, nobody bumped me or, you know, it was up. And, you know, that was it.
Yeah, it was perfectly designed play by Monty Williams that you use Booker, who might have been playing with a broken nose, but he sets the pick, and then Ayton goes to the rim and perfectly placed pass there. Like, it was just a series of events there where – you know, he had the ball go out on Devin Booker. Did it go out off of Devin Booker? Even the rebound off the missed three, did it go off DeAndre Ayton? Just the angle that it went out of bounds. Did it go off Terrence Mann? Like, it was crazy. It was a game within a game in those final, you know, 15, 20, 30 seconds there. But Phoenix Suns go up 2-0. Poll question, McLovin. I think we're changing it.
Yeah, the first one was, would you rather bet on the Suns and win $200,000 or bet on the Clippers and lose a pinky? People want to keep their pinky and gain the money.
All right.
Okay, we have a Phoenix-related poll that might sound weird, but makes sense to us.
Oh, stranger than the poll question from the first hour.
Maybe.
Okay.
Whose athletic future would you want? Devin Booker, 24, Phoenix Suns star, or John Rahm, Scottsdale resident, who's 26, and has already made $24 million in his career and will probably make an infinite amount of money. Who would you rather be? Would you rather be a 10 years of great NBA play or a lifetime of amazing golf play?
Well, I don't know if it's a lifetime of amazing golf play, but he's a very, very good player. I would be Devin Booker. If I can be great in a sport, I'd rather be great in the NBA than I would in golf.
The longevity isn't tempting to you?
Mm-mm. Booker's going to make $500 million. I mean, guaranteed. So, yeah.
But then he's 37 and it's over.
Yeah, I know. But, and you're not getting a Kardashian on the PGA Tour. So he's, I mean, he's dating a Kardashian as well. So you got to factor that in.
Wait, is that negative?
No, I think it's a positive. Wait, is this is Kendall? I think it's Kendall. So she doesn't have Kylie, you know, money. So, or Kim. Kim's a free agent now, though. So I don't know, you know. Yes, Paulie.
Basketball is more physically demanding, but I think golf would be more mentally demanding. Golf seems like a mental struggle from week to week. You mostly lose. You're angry all the time at yourself. These guys seem to be yelling at you. Basketball seems more fun to play. Golf seems more relaxing when you're playing with your buddies and you got a six-pack. I don't think that'd be I think it'd be a very tense sport to play.
Well, we tend to look at golfers and we go, it's always great weather. You know, they always look great, great clothes. You know, you get to go to all these great locations. But to earn your paycheck in front of people, and that's what it is. Devin Booker is going to still get paid whatever he gets paid. John Rahm has to earn his living right then, in the moment. All of these golfers do. You miss the cut, you know, what are you making? You know, you still got to pay for your airfare, hotel, your caddy, and you head back home. So there's so much pressure on a golfer that we don't look at it that way because we think everybody's Phil Mickelson. Like, man, that dude makes $48 million. He's got all these commercials. Okay. And then there's like Charlie Hoffman, you know, and there's a big difference between those two. But yeah, I would be Devin Booker.
But then those guys like Charlie Hoffman have like $30 million career earnings.
Yeah, okay.
The PGA is if you can win a couple.
If you can win. Look at Ricky Fowler. Ricky Fowler forgot how to play.
That dude's printing money. He's the most commercialized golfer there is.
He's printing money now, but what happens when he doesn't win anymore? Nobody wants to see him do a Corona commercial. Like you'll be going, oh yeah, that's right. Ricky doesn't win.
But, you know, when other athletes, all they ever talk about is golf. Like, all the NFL and NBA guys are like, I can't wait till the season's over so I can play golf. Like, what about the fact that you're awesome at golf?
Yeah, but they're not playing for their paycheck in the offseason. Larry Fitzgerald is a really good golfer. He's become a really good golfer. Well, that's different than playing football on Sunday. Like, playing golf, when your paycheck doesn't depend on that, your livelihood, you're like, yeah, that's pretty cool, man. Yeah, Paul.
If I'm Ricky Fowler, I tap out. I just become, he's very famous. Mm. He could be a high-end announcer. Now, pull a Romo. Go try to get a job and say, like, you know, I'm done with this.
Oh, no, he's too young to pull a Romo.
I think he's got to be 30. He looks 14, but he's got to be 30 plus.
No, he's got 20 more years of playing golf. He's got to figure out, you know, what happened here. Yeah, Seton.
And so far, he's had a pretty great career for not winning.
Yeah, he's won 5 times on tour, I believe. Never won a major. I think he won the Players' Championship. By the way, your Fast Family is back. Fast and Furious F9 in theaters coming up. I don't know. If you didn't see the first 8, are you going to be able to watch Fast and Furious 9? And I'm going to say yes, you probably will be. I fell in love with that series. First time I thought, okay, you got great cars, beautiful women, and some action here. How can you lose? I thought Gone in 60 Seconds could have been Fast and Furious.
Oh.
Like when you think about it, Angelina Jolie was in that movie. Nicolas Cage was in that movie. It felt like that could have been a franchise there with those stars. But I don't know the premise of that. Well, I don't even know what Fast and Furious, the premise is anymore. Like are they good guys, bad guys? Is The Rock still in this? Yes, McLovin.
Feels like they've moved way beyond cars. I saw them like hanging from airplanes and doing all sorts of things.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we got bored with just driving fast cars. Yes, Paulie.
I'm looking at Vin Diesel's IMDb. He basically alternates movie you don't know, Fast and Furious, movie you don't know. I'm sure he's doing very well for himself.
Yes. Well, that's where you want to be taken as seriously as an actor. Like, I'm going to do the Fast and Furious, but then I'm also doing this war movie.
Yes, and then somewhere in there, he in the middle of the Fast and Furious's He threw in a Triple X movie where he was sort of this renegade, fast car driving, bad guy, good guy combo. Sort of the same exact thing.
I watched that movie.
I saw the interview. It was a real departure for him from his usual role.
Yeah. So how's this different than Fast and Furious? Well, I'm driving a car, fast car, and there's action and people are chasing me. Okay. And, oh, that's different than Fast and Furious. Of course. Yeah, Paulie.
He does have a movie coming up called Wheelman, which I'm sure is a complete departure from the Fast and Furious.
Yes, Tom.
I put on that Triple X movie. Talk about false advertising. I was extremely disappointed.
Nailed it.
Yep. Well done, Todd. Mark Sanchez is going to join us, former NFL quarterback. A few things to talk to him about. Let's see.
Hey, you want to talk about a dude that's been printing money, though? Vin Diesel. He's not getting cheated.
What's the career salary on Vin Diesel? Anybody want to guess? Career salary, Vin Diesel. Was Vin Diesel in a... Was he in Saving Private Ryan, or am I just...
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, he was. Okay. Yeah. I thought, oh my God, I'm going to say this and you guys are going to yell at me like...
He was good in it.
Okay. Okay. Oh, there's the music. All right. Career salary, Vin Diesel. Here's our host, Paulie.
Actually, this is going to be a Seton O'Connor experience. Oh, he handles the movies.
Okay. All right. What do you got, Seton?
Just based on all of that stuff, how much do you think Vin Diesel's made? I'm just going off. I Googled his net worth, so now, who knows how accurate
this is. Now, okay, let's understand this, because I've been in movies that have made over $1 billion.
Let me check his box office.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I want to know what he made, because Sandler made all the money in those movies that I've been in. Yes, Paul.
You would think around Fast and the Furious 5, he said, I want some equity in this bad boy because without me, it's over.
Yeah.
I have his box office total somewhere around $1.6 billion.
So he's made maybe a little more than I have at the box office.
Maybe.
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 I've made over a billion. The films I've been in have made over $1 billion.
Right.
All right, let's go around the room. How much Vin Diesel has made? Todd?
$163 million.
Okay.
By the way, that was the domestic box office that I gave you.
Well, yeah. It's same with the Sandler movies as well.
Worldwide, it's 4.5.
Oh, yeah. Yes, McLovin.
See, I don't think they need to pay Vin Diesel that much, because I'll bet you if he asked for too much money, like, they can't have The Rock in all the Fast and Furiouses, so they probably get him in a bargain. I'll say $250.
$250 million?
Yeah, because 150 is low for a Hollywood
movie. All right. Seton O'Connor, you already know the answer?
I do.
Okay. Paulie Ester.
I'm going to go 275. He never does any other movie, so he doesn't need money. 275 for Vin Diesel.
I'm going to go 340 for Vin Diesel.
Dangrang. Well, you're high, according to this.
Yes, I am.
Literally and figuratively. this has his net worth at about 225 mil.
Oh, okay. Walk off.
Bad.
Walk off for Paulie.
Not bad.
Oh, McLovin, did you get that right?
I said 250.
Todd is the only one that didn't go over, though, so he would probably win if we're doing...
Congratulations, Todd.
Thank you.
All right.
Vin Diesel, member of the tribe, by the way. I just want to point that out. My friend Max Isaacson is his first cousin.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Shout out to Max.
Yeah.
All right, Max Isaacson.
How about we take a break here? Yes, Paul?
Is Diesel a common Jewish last name?
I'm going to guess that's not his name.
Oh, just... I'm sorry. My fault.
Yeah. It's Vin Horsepower, so...
Sausage off?
Yeah. You know, you would have thought he would have gone with regular, but he's going with Diesel. Yes, McLevin.
Yeah, Diesel, it's like Yentl a little bit. Like, it's the old Yiddish word.
Let's take a break here. We'll come back with Mark Sanchez. I'll get to your phone calls coming up this hour, and we will dive into the baseball controversy. Take off your pants. No, literally, take off your pants. We'll talk about that coming up here, Dan Patrick Show. I've teamed up with Full Sail University, launched the Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting. In fact, tomorrow afternoon for 90 minutes, we'll do a Zoom call with all the students. The students who are online get to see their tapes that they've been working on, get to critique those. And we do this once a month. Well, so whether you're online or on campus, you're going to get hands-on treatment. And the approach at Full Sail is you have that hands-on learning, immersive projects. You have faculty that has real-world experience. They prepare you for what this business is all about. And you get an accelerated bachelor's degree designed to teach you all the aspects of sportscasting in front of the camera, behind the camera, podcasting, radio, everything in between. And you're going to learn, you know, what this, you get the reality of this. And it's not where you graduate and you're not ready to go into a job, because we want you getting a job, not an internship. At Full Sail University, earn your bachelor's degree in about half the time, as short as 20 months. You can learn online or on campus in Orlando, Florida. Beautiful campus there. Learn more about the Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting, fullsail.edu/Dan Patrick. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, CJ.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'll get to your phone calls coming up. Got a poll question here. McLovin, give me the results so far, second hour.
Whose athletic career and future would you want? Devin Booker or John Rahm? The question everyone's asking. Devin Booker, 53%. Rahm, 47%. It was really a question about
You want a brief NBA career or a long-term golf career? I can't believe you guys don't want golf. You're the golfer.
I like golf. But if you said I could be a star at golf or a star in the NBA, I mean, I could be a shooter in the NBA. Are you kidding me?
Devin Booker's too good because I think he's he's got everything.
Like if you said I was PJ Tucker or John Rahm, then I might go John Rahm.
Yeah, I need to give you a role play. Mike Conley.
Mark Sanchez joins us on behalf of Sleep Number, the leader in sleep health. As we know, of course, my Sleep Number setting is it's jumped up to 100, by the way. A month-long program with NFL legends, a Sleep 30 Challenge. He'll talk about that coming up here in a moment. Mark, good to talk to you again. What's your favorite Pete Carroll story?
Dan P. How we doing, man?
Good.
Let's see. Well, before Pete Carroll, 6'2 and a little change, probably 235. Don't judge me.
Wow. Wow.
Don't judge me.
Okay.
I'm getting older. I'm getting a lot of sleep. I'm not quite as active. Man, Pete Carroll. I think there's two really good ones. One was in the Rose Bowl. The other one was the night before that press conference, that infamous press conference that made it look like him and I hated each other, which wasn't the case. Little did people know, the night before that press conference, we were in my apartment on Ellendale next to USC's campus. Let's see. Shoot, apartment 313, baby. And we were eating In-N-Out burgers till like 2-3 in the morning, just talking about everything. And he knew that I had pretty much decided to leave, and he was still recruiting like hell to keep me there. And so that was a night where I didn't get my full night's rest, and Sleep Number wouldn't be thrilled about that.
Okay, but then you had the press conference. So why did that happen if you guys had already talked this out the night before?
So I think here's, now that I can, you know, look back in hindsight and retrospect and all that. He didn't say anything like, I don't like him. I don't think he's a good player. You know, we're not happy for him. We don't want him to do well. He never said anything like that. But as far as those meeting or press conferences have gone to that point, it was always, you know, Johnny's leaving for the NFL. Well, man, whatever NFL team gets Johnny, good for them. He's awesome. We love him and we wish him the best. Now, Pete eventually said nice things like that, but the first thing he said was, and he said it the night before, I don't agree with the decision. Okay, which is fine. He can have his own opinion. And we said that to each other the night before. I said, Coach, no hard feelings. I get it. This is where I'm at. Here's what I want to do. Cool. And he's like, well, you got to look at the statistics, you know, rookie quarterbacks, blah, 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 when they come out early. And he did all his research, credit to him. He knew exactly what he was talking about. So he gave an opinion on my decision and then backed it up with a bunch of nice fluffy stuff, which is fine. But everybody focused on that opinion. And because he gave that those data points saying, you know, rookie quarterbacks who leave early, they don't do this, they don't do that, blah, blah, blah. Well, that was all fine too, but nobody was used to hearing that. So once they heard it, they're like, oh, dude, he hates him. Oh, these guys don't like each other. What a jerk, you know? And it wasn't really like that. It was just, hey, this is his opinion. Here's why he thinks that. And it's all good.
Do you think you could have been more successful or a more sustainable career if you'd had lower expectations? You were going to a team that was playoff ready, championship ready, whereas Zach Wilson is going to a Jets team that we don't have great expectations.
Sure.
So put yourself in that position with Zach, and how beneficial can that be to his development, or maybe even detrimental?
You know, I think there's two ways to go on this, right? You nailed it. I went into a team that was picking 15 or 16 overall, which means you're middle of the pack. They just missed the playoffs with Brett Favre and, you know, one bicep tendon. Like, this guy was hanging on for dear life. I just golfed with him about a month and a half ago, and he told a bunch of those stories, which were incredible, by the way. But so that's where that team was. They had great veteran leadership. We needed a couple receivers. We ended up getting Braylon Edwards, Santonio Holmes. And they had a tight end. They had a running back. We drafted a running back in Sean Green. So this is a team that was built to win immediately. And we were so good on defense. They won in spite of me multiple times my rookie year. Like, I have no shame in admitting that. I threw 5 picks against Buffalo, and we took the game to overtime, and we rushed for like 200-something yards. Like, that doesn't happen, right? So I went to a place where they expected to win immediately. Now, I loved it, but it also set the bar really high. There was only one way to go. When you get to the AFC Championship game, your first 2 years, there's only one way to go. Really two ways, but one's a lot easier for straight down, right? So either you go to the Super Bowl and compete in the Super Bowl and win or lose, whatever, or you don't make that game and now you're not as good. And you know this New York media, it's very sensationalized. It's best or worst, a very superlative. So that's just kind of the way it went. Now, if you go into that market maybe with less expectations, sure, that's fine. I understand that argument. Let the guy sit. Let him learn. Let him, you know, have a solid veteran ahead of him and kind of groom him, the Patrick Mahomes, Alex Smith idea. Great. But you don't have that time in New York, right? All these guys that they have there, it's like the little league team that stays together for like 5 years, right? And then by the time they hit high school, they don't even have to give like pickoff signs anymore. They just know by body language, like, boom, we know what to do. I know when it's, you know, when we're thinking about bunting, I know when to drag bunt, I know when to steal. I know all this stuff because we've done it for so long. You think the New York media is going to give them that kind of time?
No.
I mean, they have a lot of young guys, and I hope they do. I hope they keep expectations realistic. But, I mean, that's just a tall task there. So, you know, the most important thing for them is just little victories along the way. Block out the media as best you can. Let that thing marinate. And I think if anybody's got a shot to do it, it's Zach Wilson. I really like him. I liked him coming out in the draft process. He's got a couple things to clean up, I would think, in the pocket. Just every once in a while, there's a routine play that I'd like him to just keep it routine, right? I don't need, you know, the Sports Center highlight every single drop back, right? But when it's time, you know when to flip that switch and be Zach Wilson and show us that amazing play when it's fourth down, when you got to scramble, when it, you know, the game's on the line. But when it's just a wide open, you know, easy grounder to second base, just throw the guy out at first. And I think his quarterback coach, Greg Knapp, is going to really, really help with that because he's been with some of the best in the league with Peyton Manning, some of the best technicians that know how to keep the game simple when it's supposed to be simple. And then when it's time to, like I said, when it's time to, you know, to go off and do something special and show me who Zach Wilson is, you'll know exactly when that is. And you'll flip the switch and do it.
He's Mark Sanchez, the former NFL quarterback. How do you explain Tom Brady then? Brady told me many, many years ago, if he had been drafted in the first round, he probably wouldn't have made it. So he's the greatest quarterback of all time who might not have made it. Now that he might be being humble, but I think he said, I wasn't ready, and they would have asked me to be ready as a first round quarterback.
Sure. And I think one of the biggest things for Tom Brady is the amount of sleep he gets. He even preaches that, Dan. Okay. Sleep. I mean, he's got to be on a sleep number. That guy's got energy for days. So I just wanted to throw that in there real quick, but there's just a lot of expectation when it comes to that first pick overall. There's so much expected of you that, you know, you're, regardless of your circumstances, you're expected to do well. And here's a great example. When I'm at Sam Darnold's pro day and he's coming out of USC and they're like, I don't know, he might go to Cleveland. He might go here. He might go there. We're hoping he goes to the Jets like you. Like, that would be so cool. You know, USC to the Jets. And I'm talking with his parents and all that. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, listen, I love my time in New York. Don't take this the wrong way. I'm like, but the Jets are just not very good right now. Neither is Cleveland at the time. But I'm like, either way, like, if you're going in that top five, unless somebody trades into the top five like the Jets did for me, expectations should not be here. Like, you're drafting that early for a reason. So for Tom, I think he got to fly under the radar. He got to learn under Drew Bledsoe. He got to make a bunch of mistakes in practice that nobody ever saw. Maybe internally they corrected, obviously, but he got to run through situation after situation after situation against one of the best defenses perennially all the time, right? Before he even got out on the field. And that is invaluable when it comes to grooming a quarterback. You want reps. You want reps in real situations, not 7-on-7 or 7-on, you know, air, you know, passing lines and warmups. Those don't count. Like, once you get to that level, come on, dude, that's just expected. You're in a pair of shorts and t-shirt and maybe a helmet. Like, the ball shouldn't touch the ground. That's just the way it goes. That's just where we're starting. Okay. Now you get a defense on the field. Now you get situations, and the way they run practice, they don't just run plays up there. they're running situation after situation. Okay, backed up, sudden change, third downs, red zone, goal line. This is the game is made up of all these tiny little situations, and he became a master of them. And now he's got this Rolodex in his head of playing against one of the best defenses that can take the ball away from you like that. And boom, now I know what to do when the game's on. And they eased him into it. Remember when, oh my God, how am I blanking on the coaches? Charlie Weiss was running two back, you know, drop back. Go look at his first Super Bowl win. He hit one big pass on a deep cross to Branch or somebody. Everything else was a check down to Kevin Falk. Everything else, the ball didn't travel over 6 yards. So I'm not saying that's easy. That's hard. That's really hard to do. But he did it. And then he got that confidence. And it was like, oh, I can do this. Now let me try and fit a ball in. Oh, okay, maybe that didn't work. Okay, let me fit a ball in here. Got it. Boom. I know I can do that. I remember this situation from practice, blah, blah, blah. And he just became a master. And he's, you know, he's got to be part cyborg other than the one day he had a couple too many beers, right? Like, this guy's just incredible. So he just became a master of those situations, and he had the time to develop in the right place.
Tell us what you're doing with Sleep Number, the Sleep 30 Challenge.
So basically it's from June 14th to July 11th, 30 straight days. Trying to compete with all the NFL legends. Is that cool or what, Dan? They call you an NFL legend as soon as you retire, whether your career was legendary or not. There could have been legendary moments. That's awesome.
Are you calling yourself a legend?
Well, as long as Tracy Perlman at the NFL says I'm a legend, then fine.
Okay.
I'll take the label.
Right. Yeah.
But basically, it's 30 straight days. I'm competing with other NFL legends. You plug in your Sleep Number bed to your app. You get it all configured, and then essentially it'll track all your sleep, hit you with data points on restless sleep, when you're getting into REM sleep, all that kind of stuff. The only issue for me, and I'm not making any excuses because I'm a competitor and I want to win this thing, but I got this child, okay, Dan? He's 4 and a half. He'll be 5 in November, and he'll come in at any hour of the night, and I just see it on my data points, just a big spike of restless sleep because there's movement in the bed, all right? And this guy will come in with Hulk hands in the middle of the night and just boom, Hulk smash. So, and wake Dad up. But on the nights he doesn't do that, I get a full, you know, restful sleep, the full 8 hours. But the idea behind this challenge is during the 4 weeks, they break it up into, you know, a couple different coaching points, more or less, that we learned this in the NFL later in my career. But things to avoid before you go to bed, blue light from your cell phone, computer, or TV. You know, making sure instead of doing stuff like that, let's read a book. Let's, you know, do a little Sudoku, dim the lights a little bit, have a nice, cool, dark environment to sleep in, and really keep the bed, you know, for sleeping type thing. So it's great information, and it really does help me recharge. And the next day I got to go be super dad. So, and you know, from raising kids don't care what time you went to bed or how much sleep you got. They're ready to rock the next day. So I got to be ready as well.
It's great to talk to you again, and thanks for joining us, and good luck with Sleep Number.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Hi, buddy. That's Mark Sanchez, former NFL quarterback, USC quarterback. Yeah, you go back to that press conference. I mean, that was wild. But that was just the body language that was going on, that Pete Carroll's basically want to lock the door, not let him out. But look, Mark survived. Pete Carroll survived. And you know, sometimes you just want an honest answer. You may not like the honest answer, but you get an honest answer. And I think Pete Carroll was saying that to Mark. And Mark went into those expectations. That was a really good team. And, I mean, you went to two AFC title games, and they trade up to get you. Now the expectation level is ratcheted up. It's like Mitchell Trubisky. And you're like, you better be really good. By the way, I talked about that yesterday where, you know, when I first broke the story about the Chicago Bears were one of the three teams Tom Brady was considering. And, you know, was Tom referring to the Bears staying with Mitchell Trubisky when he was saying you're basically going to stay with that bleep? I was told yesterday it wasn't San Francisco with Jimmy Garoppolo. And the Chargers didn't really have somebody where they said, oh, you're staying with that bleep. Tannehill had played well. So he wasn't talking about the Titans. And was it Mitchell Trubisky? Probably so. Because it wouldn't have been Drew Brees with the Saints. He has too much respect for him. You start to take, you know, inventory here of these quarterbacks and who was Tom talking about. What I'm taking away from this without having any concrete, information is he was probably talking to the Bears about Mitchell Trubisky. Because the Colts, I know he wanted to play for the Colts, or he was open to playing for the Colts. But there were really only three offers. And that was Chicago, the Chargers, and the Buccaneers. Yeah, McLevin.
Total hypothetical. Do you think Chicago could have had a similar thing as the Bucs? And because they have a great defense, could they have put it all together with Brady under center?
Well, he did like Matt Nagy. I think probably based off Nagy working with Peyton Manning. But I really don't know. I felt like everything that he needed was in Tampa. It was a younger defense, and he was able to bring in some of his friends, bring in Antonio Brown, bring in Gronk. I don't know, just sort of fell into place. And, he and Bruce Arians figured it out. He had Mike Evans, Godwin. Like, you had talent there. Yeah, Paul.
You know, Mitch, Tom Brady's never really confirmed that Chicago was in the mix. Chicago was close. And that's what Bears fans want. We never want Tom Brady to admit that the Bears were right there and they had a chance to get him. Yep. That would be awful.
All right, we'll take a break. The first week of pitchers being investigated. We'll talk about that, the fallout from that, your phone calls as well right after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, CJ.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, You can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
All righty. I'll get to phone calls coming up. Spent a lot of time talking basketball from last night. You got Hawks-Bucks game one coming up tonight. Lightning and the Islanders, that's game six. The Nationals and the Phillies got a little chippy with pitchers being checked, and in particular, Max Scherzer getting picked to show your glove, show your belt, show your hat there. He threw five innings, gave up two hits. He struck out eight. The Phillies manager, Joe Girardi, requested not once, not twice, but three times for him to be checked. And Scherzer, and he had some words. Girardi was eventually ejected from the game. They had a little stare down here. This is how it sounded. Here's the play-by-play of NBC Sports Philadelphia.
Joe Girardi is asking the home plate umpire, Tim Timmons and Alfonso Marquez, to take a look at something. Joe must have seen something with one of the baseballs. Scherzer's looking over to the dugout saying, really? But they must have seen something. So Dave Martinez is coming out. Look at Joe. I love it. I love it.
All right. Joe went out there, had a little stare down. And I don't know if this was gamesmanship. If you don't know Joe Girardi, which I'm going to guess most of you don't, he has a football mentality in a baseball sport. I don't know if he thought Max Scherzer was loading up the ball as much as he just wanted to say, hey, maybe I break up his rhythm a little bit. Maybe I try to get in his head a little bit. Here's Max Scherzer, the Nationals pitcher, who was confused by Joe Girardi's inspection request.
For me, it's, you know, kind of confusing. If you watch the vomit bat, I almost put a 95 mile an hour fastball on his head because the ball slipped out of my hand. The whole night I was sick of kind of licking my fingers and tasting rosin the whole night. So the only part, I couldn't even get sweat from the back of my head because it wasn't really a warm night. So for me, the only part that was sweaty on me was actually my hair. So I had to take off my hat to be able to try to get any type of, try to get some type of moisture on my hand to try to, mix with the rosin. And so, for me, that's the confusing part is I'm just trying to get a grip of the ball. And you can even watch in that previous at bat, the ball slipped out of my hand, almost drilled somebody in the face.
All right. My follow-up question there would have been, Max, what were you using last week prior to baseball telling you you can't use anything? Walk me through what you use here, just so I know here. Here's Joe Girardi on why he asked the umps to inspect Max Scherzer.
What did you see that prompted you to ask them to inspect Scherzer?
I've seen Max a long time, since 2010. Obviously, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. But I've never seen him wipe his head like he was doing tonight, ever. Going like this, right? So it was suspicious for me. He did it about four or five times. It was suspicious. I didn't mean to offend anyone. I just got to do what's right for our club.
Yeah, it was gamesmanship there a little bit. I think he had a little bit of fun with it. If I said to you, would you prefer baseball look the other way and allow these pitchers to continue to do what they're doing? Or we have this situation here. This is awkward. It's uncomfortable when you're watching this. You have pitchers who are overreacting, acting like babies. Should the commissioner ignore this? Now, here's a couple of things. I think you should cap the number of times that you can inspect a pitcher in a game. How about twice? That way, if you want to get him in the first inning and maybe see something in the fifth inning, that you can say, hey, I want you to look at him. Do it off the mound. Do it if you want to walk over to the dugout in between innings. Whatever it is, do it in a way that you're not embarrassing people. Here's the other thing with the commissioner. Why are we doing it during the season? Why don't we be fair to everybody and let the pitchers understand this is what we're cracking down on next year? Now, that's going to give them time to find something else to use. But how many decades did we watch baseball look the other way when it came to steroids? When the hitters were allowed to have an advantage. Now the pitchers have an advantage. And it's not good for business because batting averages are at an all-time low. But if you're a pitcher, all right, now I got to adjust. What am I allowed to have? And that's what I would want to know. Like, what am I allowed to have? Now, okay, these pitchers who say, man, I could have hit him with, Max Scherzer said, I could have hit him in the side of the head. Okay, what were you using last week, Max? Gerrit Cole, what were you using last week? All right, how about you give us full disclosure here what you were using? And then maybe baseball can meet you halfway. You know, we'll give you something that you can use. Because I understand that. These baseballs are so slick when you get them. They rub them up, but they're slick. Now, Max saying that, well, you know, it wasn't a warm night and I wasn't sweating. Okay. But he was running his fingers through his hair, which Joe Girardi said he doesn't do. If you got rid of the old stuff, then what are you doing with the new stuff? Or where is the new stuff? Now, that doesn't mean another player doesn't have this. I mean, I've been around sports a long time. Doesn't have to come from the pitcher. You can have somebody who can help you. The catcher can have something. Third base can help you. You can always have somebody who can help you a little bit. But baseball's being unfair to the pitchers from this perspective. Now you're asking them to adjust on the fly. Imagine if you said to all hitters, no more batting gloves. Or no more pine tar. Like just some dirt. How about some rosin? How about spit on your hands there? Everybody has to use the same thing. It's embarrassing for baseball. They're getting attention here. But if Rob Manfred, who didn't do anything with the Astros, doesn't do anything here, then he's going to get roughed up. So at least he's trying. It's awkward. It was awkward to see that exchange with Max Scherzer and Joe Girardi. I mean, he had a pitcher with the A's who pulls his pants down in front of the umpire, takes off his hat. Who was that? Sergio Romo. He pulls his pants down right in front of the umpire. I would have run him right then. Get out of here. You're not going to embarrass me like that. Oh, you want my hat? You want my glove? You want my belt? I'm pulling my pants down. How about I make you play the rest of the game with your pants down? Get out of here. And all fired up. Final hour coming up.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.